In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, St. Anne's. It is a blessing to worship with all of you this morning and to dig into this familiar and timely story of Jesus appearing to Thomas in John's Gospel. This particular story speaks to our situation right now in many ways, and it also challenges us to think about, with everything going on around us, it challenges us to think about what do we need from God right now. You might think that's a big question, but you know, take a minute. What do we need from God right now? What do we think that we need? Did the disciples know what they needed? How about Thomas? You know, for Thomas, he wanted proof. And so what do we need from God? And let us ponder that for today. I don't know about you, but I can really relate to this story, especially with the disciples hiding out in the house. We have entirely different reasons for being home right now compared to the disciples. They are not self-isolating because of a virus, but they are staying home because they're scared and feeling like their lives are at risk. And so we can relate to that experience, even though we're staying home for different reasons. For many of us, we're fearful and nervous of leaving our houses because of this COVID-19 virus. And some are scared of getting it because it is so highly contagious and asymptomatic for some. There is a lot of anxiety over the potential of giving it to someone and not even know. So there is this heightened sense of fear and anxiety over leaving our homes right now due to the weight of our accountability to one another with this. And so we are adapting to not a normal, some are calling it a new normal. I don't consider pandemics normal. So I would say that we are adapting and living in a new reality. And so, and with that new reality comes grief over the loss of what was normal 30 days ago. So we're experiencing so many different emotions right now, from grief to fear. There's so much going on. And, you know, this story today, the disciples, they're grieving and fearful too. You know, they have experienced the tragic loss of their beloved teacher and friend. And now it's compounded with the fear that they're being persecuted for being his followers. And then, you know, because they've witnessed everything from his death and his crucifixion and death, even the arrest, it's starting to make them question whether or not this could happen to them. And so that is at the forefront of their minds, and it's completely understandable why they're living in fear. Even the gospel writer tells us today that they took precautions by locking their doors. The writer was specific to say that, very intentional. And so it really signifies how terrified they were of what could happen if they left their home and are recognized as friends of the man who was just killed by the Roman government. So emotions are running high then and now. And so it's leaving us all unsettled. So in the reading, when Thomas comes along, his story we're so familiar with, you know, doubting Thomas, that it really distracts us from seeing the depth of pain and grief that is leading him to not just doubt, but essentially not believe. Not believe at all. So the word that has been translated as doubt in the scripture is actually translated as unbelief. And that takes on a whole new meaning for how we view Thomas. So when he says, "I need to see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." This is not him questioning his faith, but sincere spiritual despair because of his loss of hope. And so doubt involves being uncertain of something you believe in. Paul Tillich said doubt is the opposite of faith. It is an element of faith. And so doubt you know, it's not a bad thing. Like, we should question and wonder and engage why we believe what we do. However, unbelief is not believing at all, and an absence of faith altogether. And so when Thomas says, "I will not believe," you can feel how the trauma of the crucifixion has caused him to lose all hope and faith and trust in Jesus, despite being his follower and despite knowing what was to come and being mourned, and but also the hope of the resurrection. And so Thomas, despite Jesus's preaching and teaching, and even for all the disciples, it does not bring comfort or hope to them. And he has lost, in a sense, his faith. And essentially, the brutality of Jesus's death and witnessing that probably made the possibility of resurrection in Jesus, in Thomas's mind, impossible. So this leads him to demand proof. And it makes so much sense why he has to see and feel the existence of Jesus. And so, you know, we wonder why. I mean, poor guy was shamed for centuries for demanding this, but there's, you know, you can kind of understand. I mean, his teacher and friend who preached a message of hope is gone. And so where is the hope then? It left with Jesus for Thomas. And so, and then on top of it all, the other disciples, well, they're not very trustworthy. I mean, Judas betrayed Jesus, and then Peter denied knowing him when the moment counted. And so, you know, Thomas probably doesn't trust or want to, you know, you can kind of assume that he might not want to put his faith in his friends. And so there's many reasons why he would have demanded proof. But is this really what he needed? You know, with everything that Thomas and the disciples had been through, is proof and answers going to fill in the gaps of their pain? You know, with everything going on right now, what do we need? What do we need right now to get through and to help us through a time of fear and anxiety and our own pain and grief? And so when we read this gospel today, it just amazes me how we actually find what we need when Jesus gives the disciples what they needed. And that is peace. When I think of peace, the peace of God, it's when the Holy Spirit calms my anxious heart and relaxes my nervous mind. And I feel this sense that I don't understand what will happen, but I have a comfort that it will be okay. And not perfect, but okay. And it's a releasing for me of control. And so God's peace settles my soul so that I can be peaceful for what is to come. And in our grief and fear right now, peace is exactly what we need, just like the disciples. So I have to ask you, where do you need peace in your life? Everywhere? Where do you need the comfort and calm of God, of God's loving hand, to tell you that it's going to be okay, to reassure you that you are, too, a beloved child of the Most High? Where do you need the peace of God to calm your aching heart? Is it in your marriage, your bank account, in your relationship with your children, or maybe peace with yourself? What, then, is the purpose of peace? Why do we need it? Well, it's actually a gift. It's a gift to us when we feel uneasy and scared and terrified and just worried about finances and everything going on in our lives. And the gift of peace is what he gives to us and he gave to the disciples. You know, and it's a gift to them because it eases their broken hearts and their sad minds so that they can rest their strength in Jesus and have the courage to share the good news of his resurrection with the world around him. When Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit upon the disciples, he was not just commissioning them to evangelize, but to do so with the peace of God that allows them to be confident in the love and redemption of our Savior, Jesus Christ, a love that never fails and never abandons us. His unconditional love for his disciples did not stop with his death and calls him to comfort them even when they are hiding out, even when they rejected him, and especially when they didn't stand by his side. Jesus comes back not to just prove that he beat death, but to let them know that the peace of God transcends all things and shows the loving power of God. A love that called Jesus back into the room of that house to reassure those grieving and terrified men that they are beloved and because of that are gifted with the peace that only God can give. As Philippians 4:7 states, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And in that guarding and caring for us, we are being loved and cared for by our Creator. We will never fully understand the peace of God, but we will know it when we feel it. And we are blessed to receive it every day, even when we can't feel it. That is the beauty and the hope of the resurrection, that the peace and love of our Savior didn't end on the cross. It's here with us right now, and it has never left us. It may seem impossible to be peaceful right now, but that is why we pray and invite God to hear what is aching our souls. Jesus showed up to Thomas, and he shows up to us as well. You know, I needed an example of peace this week, and I wanted, where is the peace of God? And so I prayed for that, and I invite you to pray for that as well. That's the invitation that God gives us. And my prayer was answered when I saw a photo this week that I couldn't stop thinking about. It was of the military color guard at a funeral, and you may have seen it. And all the soldiers that were folding the flag had their face covered by a black mask, their nose and mouth. And so one of the men who had the folded flag, when he approached the family, and he stayed 6 feet back, but when he approached the family and got down on one knee to present them with the flag, he took off his mask for a moment and offered them his condolences. This grieving family that is heartbroken over the loss of their loved one was just shown a sign of God's peace and love through the kindness of this man, taking away the barrier so that they could see his face fully and the emotion and deep-hearted kindness and condolence and just hurt that he had for them was just a sign of God's peace in the world with everything going on around us. So my prayer for you this week is that you pray and invite God into your hearts and minds when you are fearful and grieving of this new reality and trying to work everything out and figure everything out. And so my prayer for you is that you feel the Holy Spirit breathe upon you the peace of God during times of your fear and uncertainty like this one, and that you can put your faith in him even when you doubt, and have that peace that gives you the courage and strength to share with others the love of God that is sovereign and presence in all that we feel and do. So brothers and sisters in Christ, may God's peace, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, now and always. Amen. Peace be with you.